The name of this episode today is pretty self-explanatory. And of course, I don't think I really need to play a whole lot of audio in today's podcast because the top story is the one that everyone's been talking about over the last little bit. And basically, what's happening on the podcast today is what I've really noticed over the last 2 to 3 days in the National Hockey League. We will get into all of that involving the Toronto Maple Leafs, the trade market, the first domino falling, and a few more other things here on the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. About less than a week away from the first official day of spring, which is crazy to think that hockey season is really starting to ramp up here. Welcome into the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Kyle Gamard, your host, as always. Follow along in the podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, Instagram, and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast. And, you know, the title of today's episode is fairly evident as to what we're going to be talking about today. We'll be talking about some other things. Of course, the NHL trade deadline 6 days away now and one deal, one domino already falling. And we'll touch on that and what that means for the rest of the league as well. But I think it's fairly evident to know what we're going to start with today. And like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'm not going to play any audio from it. It's very self-explanatory what we're kicking off today with. And of course, this past Sunday, the Heritage Classic game between the Buffalo Sabres and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And there were already enough storylines going into this game. Trade deadline, Leafs goaltending, defense. Do they add a forward? Buffalo all of a sudden looking like maybe they're coming out on the winning end of this Jack Eichel deal. We'll talk about Vegas a little bit later on too. But towards the end of the game, there was a scrum between Austin Matthews and Rasmus Dahlin of the Buffalo Sabres. They got into it. Matthews, towards the end, gave a shot towards Dahlin, took a stick, cross-checked him, and it hit him in the head. The NHL Player Safety Department looked into it, gave a review afterwards, offered a hearing to Matthews, and it came down yesterday that Austin Matthews was given a 2-game suspension. He will miss the game tonight against Buffalo or against Dallas. He will also miss one more game after that. They play Thursday against Carolina. Those are two relatively important games. Dallas is coming on strong. They're fighting for a playoff spot, and Carolina as well. Carolina. Before I get into everything here, before the suspension came out, I was talking to multiple people. I was talking to a buddy of mine. I was talking to my future brother-in-law about this. I was also talking to a friend locally here in town. And I said the same thing, that I think he's going to get 2 games. Surely enough, news comes out, he gets 2 games. Do I think he deserves 2 games? No. Do I think it's a suspendable offense? No. Do I think that it was an outdoor game involving one of the bigger teams in bigger markets, involving one of the biggest players, and it was a spectacle for everybody? And everybody, before the hearing even happened, had already weighed in on Twitter and kind of determined what was going to happen at that point. I don't think it's a suspendable offense. I don't. And I'm not going to change my tune on that. Now, I also understand that you can't change anything. What's done is done. He'll serve his 2 games. He'll be back Saturday against Nashville. What's bothering me, one, is the lack of nobody knows in today's game what and what isn't a suspendable offense anymore. You had all the criteria in the world. If this were taken to a court and you were on the side of it not being a suspension, you had all the evidence on planet Earth to fight it and win that case. Matthews has never been suspended before. He's never faced any disciplinary hearings before. It was a one-time thing. It was heat of the moment. You could have done the whole spiel about, oh, it rode up his shoulder and hit him in the neck. I don't know if that's the case or not. But there have been way worse incidents that have garnered a 5K suspension. Happened earlier this year between Dallas and Montreal. Off the face-off, Montreal player, I think it's Gallagher or someone, with the centerman for the Dallas Stars going down, two hands on the stick, cross check to the head as the player's head's on the ice. That got $5,000. The same day, Jonathan Huberdeau of the Florida Panthers, LA Kings are playing them. They're on the road. Kings players coming around the net. Jonathan Huberdeau makes eye contact, puts his elbow up, makes direct contact with the head. The player, by the way, was injured. No one talked about it. No one's talking about it. He's playing tonight, too. You can make all the cases in the world for Austin Matthews, and you could probably win it. But the same thing could be said if you were making the case that Matthews should get suspended. Direct cross-check to the head. They're losing a game. You could throw the whole intent to injure thing. Nobody knows anymore. It's the same thing when no one knows if the puck is kicked into the net, what a distinct kicking motion is. No one knows. There have been so many plays that are controversial and contradict what the actual meaning of the rule is, that when a puck goes in off a skate, everyone just throws their hands up and go, we'll see how they're feeling today. And I think that's what it was. I think it was the big outdoor game on a Sunday. It was being talked about. It was arguably one of their more talked about outdoor games this season. There were outdoor games where we came on the podcast here and I said, I had no idea they were happening. Not a clue. The league did such a horrible job hyping them, but all I saw on the NHL pages, on all the local networks that were covering it, just mass spread this thing. And everybody watched it. Everybody was in town. Craig Button, by the way, was at the London Knights game last night. Everyone's like, why is Craig Button here? It's because he was at the Heritage Classic. All the Toronto media, all the networks watching it, they're all watching the game. So when the whole world or a lot of the hockey community is watching Austin Matthews cross-check Rasmus Dahlin in the head, you know, it gives them all the ammunition in the world. Everybody's talking about it. You want to know why Jonathan Huberdeau's not getting suspended? No one's talking about it. By the way, Jonathan Huberdeau should get 2 to 3 games for his direct elbow to the head on Kings forward. Direct elbow. I didn't see who it was. It might be Gabe Vilardi. I could be wrong. Or it could be Adrian Kempe or Alex Iafallo. Doesn't matter. It's a direct elbow to the head. No one's talking about it. And I, by the way, I won't change my stance on this. And that was really disappointing to see online with so many people just to show that they're right or not wrong. At first come out and say, oh, this isn't a suspension. This is clean. This is playoff hockey, which is what I said. I said, that's playoff hockey. Like that doesn't get called in the postseason. In 2.5 months from now, in a playoff series, someone's going to take a cross check to the head and it's not even going to garner a 2-minute penalty. I 100% wholeheartedly guarantee you that will not be a penalty call come playoff time. Not even close. Because the rules change, right? But it was so disappointing seeing so many people backtrack. Come on, whether it's big analysts or just fans, and say, it's not that I didn't think Matthews didn't deserve a penalty. I think NHL player safety department is inconsistent. you can just say it's disappointing that the NHL player safety department is so inconsistent. But then to come on and be like, oh, I actually do think it was, I don't know, that bothered me a lot because I don't think it's a suspension. We have seen literally worse situations occur on the ice this season in the NHL that have not garnered a penalty and at the max have garnered a $5,000 suspension, which Matthews would have paid wholeheartedly. Nobody said anything about it either. And this is why I will stick to my guns on this. Because a tweet came out, and I don't have it right now with me, unfortunately, but a tweet was out and it said that there are 19 other cases where the NHL, there was a cross-checking in the NHL that got reviewed by the player safety department. And none of them garnered a suspension outside of Austin Matthews. 19 other times this season, there was a cross check in which George Parros and his whole department looked deeper into the play, and of the 19 of them, determined 18 were non-suspension worthy, and the one that was Austin Matthews. I understand that I am currently in the southwestern Ontario area. I grew up watching the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're the team I follow the most outside of the Vancouver Canucks. I can understand if you're listening right now and there is some sort of bias towards it. But I'm not even going off of blind, unassuming, unresearched statements here. These are legitimate statistics that have been released or have been found by people dictating that the NHL Player Safety Department has looked into 18 other cases, and this so far has been the only one that has merited a suspension. And not just a suspension. Two games to a player who has never had any sort of disciplinary record. Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts, the podcast, came out and said that a hearing gives the NHL the right to up the fine. He didn't even lead with suspension. He said it gives them the right to up the fine, which is what he thought it was going to get. He said, maybe max. He said, if it's a suspension one. Two games against one of the leading Hart candidates, the Rocket Richard, previous winner and the current leader in the NHL in goals, who plays for the biggest market in the NHL, got two games for a cross check to the head in which he had been hit not once, not twice, but three times. One of them shoved into the post, the other time cross checked in the chest, and the other time shoved down and almost speared by Rasmus Dahlin before he retaliated with the one shot. And nothing got called until the cross check was made. You can backtrack all you want. You can say, it's not that I didn't think he deserved a suspension. It's that you can say whatever you want. It's not suspension worthy. It's just not. You know, yeah, you can look like you're right on social media, but in the moment, even after the fact and knowingly that he was going to get a hearing, I still didn't think it was suspension worthy. And we are going to see something worse probably this week that doesn't get a suspension. We just saw Jonathan Huberto throw an elbow on an LA Kings forward that didn't even get talked about. We're going to see come playoff time that rules go out the window. We are going to see a player get smashed from behind. We're going to see a player get cross-checked in the back for absolutely no reason. We are going to see players getting hit and punched and sucker punched in the face that will not even merit a 2-minute penalty. Yes, the NHL Player Safety Department has been inconsistent at best this year when trying to determine what is suspension worthy, what is right, and what is wrong. And the refs are to blame as well. Because if the refs call the penalty in the first place, Austin Matthews does not retaliate. He doesn't. He did this last year against Montreal, where he's getting ragdolled from behind by Ben Sherrod or Joel Edmondson. And he's standing there, you know, the gif of him laughing, just taking abuse. Nothing was called. The Wayne Simmonds clip, by the way. So last year, there's a clip going viral right now in the playoffs. Wayne Simmonds is standing in front of the Montreal Canadiens net. He gets then cross-checked in the back of the head by Ben Sherrod. By the way, his stick breaks. He cross-checked him so hard. Followed by a direct cross-check to the nose from Joel Edmondson. Nothing. I don't even think it got a penalty. It definitely didn't get a suspension. There was no games in which Ben Sherrod or Joel Edmondson missed time in that series. If it's going to be a suspension, you better call it every goddamn time it happens in the league. Instead of the one most, the one game that everyone is tuning into on a Sunday at an outdoor game involving one of the biggest players in the league. Florida, LA? Who cares? Jonathan Huberto and elbow? Eh, it's not a big deal. No one's going to talk about it. We can let that one go. Yes, be consistent when calling these. But based on what the league has not called so far, not suspension worthy. I will die on that hill. I don't care. Not suspension worthy. People who think it is. Do you see the clickbait for Mark Mathot too? Saying it's the most egregious thing he's ever done. Mark Mathot said that. Mark Mathot, who got paid to hit and be physical and block shots was his best trait, said that that cross-check was the most, quote, egregious thing he's ever seen. It's funny. He stirred the pot, too. It was good. That's all you're going to get for me from this. I don't think it's suspension worthy, but it's in the past. It's done. He's going to serve his games tonight against Dallas, on Thursday against Carolina. He'll be back against Nashville on Saturday. Something worse is going to happen in the next 7 days that will not get a suspension. I would mortgage my house on that statement. I'd mortgage my home that something worse is going to happen that will either get less than or no suspension at all from what Austin Matthews got. You can book that, by the way. Book it. Haven't even talked about their goaltending issues, by the way, too. But let's talk about the trade deadline. And the first major trade was made 7 days prior to the NHL trade deadline, which is happening on March 21st, the first official day of spring, or is that the 20th? It's one of the two. The Anaheim Ducks traded defenseman Josh Manson to the Colorado Avalanche for prospect Drew Helison and a 2023 second-round pick. So not a 2022 pick, which is this year, but a 2023 second-round pick, which is next season. Anaheim is retaining 50% of Manson's $4.1 million cap hit, and he is a pending unrestricted free agent this season. He stands 6'3", 218 pounds, not a big offensive threat, but he is a very physical defender, 116 hits. He logs nearly 20 minutes an ice. He will play top 4 minutes. His underlying metrics aren't spectacular. He has a projected war of just 18%, offense really only at 57%, even defensively 38, but he's physical. He is what a lot of teams covet in the postseason, where a lot of the rules kind of change and that physicality means a little bit more to teams. What this does is it sets the market. This set the market. Josh Manson going for a second and a prospect just set the market for defensemen. Top four defensemen, by the way. All the rumors about Montreal getting a first and a prospect for Ben Chiarot, throw them out the window. Throw them out the window. Ben Chiarot, at best, will get that. A second and a prospect. And not a high-end prospect, but a prospect. John Klingberg, apparently not even getting traded anymore. Unfortunate news about Miro Heiskanen getting diagnosed with an illness, and Dallas obviously pushing for a playoff spot. They aren't moving Klingberg anymore. He's too valuable to that team. We'll talk about Jacob Chychrun and all the other trade implications coming up. But any other defenseman, Hampus Lindholm, PK Subban, Justin Braun, all those players, Calvin DeHaan's another one. But all those defensemen that teams were thinking, oh, we might get a first for this guy. We might get a really... out the window. Throw it out the window. Unless a team is going to be desperate. And I don't think a team is... I don't see a team that... The only team that I can see wholeheartedly that will be desperate for a defenseman is the team that just traded for one, Colorado. Colorado is going to be in cap hell after next season. Their year, their window is this year and next year. Because after that, Nathan McKinnon's contract comes up and he only makes $6.2 million. That dude is going to get twice as much money. They've also got to sign a goaltender. They're apparently in on Giroux. They're in on Fleury. They're in on everybody. They're all in this year. But if there was a team willing to overpay, and I know what you're thinking, what about a team like Pittsburgh? What a team like Toronto? What about like... Toronto is getting excellent play right now from Timothy Liljegren. Jake Muzzin is skating again and might be coming back soon. And there's too much pressure on fans and management to not mortgage the future for an unrestricted free agent. Toronto's not trading a first-round pick and a prospect for Ben Schrott. It's not happening. I don't even think it's happening that they're going to trade for Elias Lindholm. The market has been set. Because there are also teams with unrestricted pending UFAs that want something in return and not just let a player go for nothing. The Seattle Kraken, I know they named Mark Giordano their captain. He's a UFA this year. Does he re-sign there afterwards? Maybe. It's not a guarantee. Would they rather get a second or third round pick for him to build their draft capital and build their team? I don't see why not. They're not in any winning position this year, and Mark Giordano is not part of their long-term future plans. So if a team comes in and goes, hey, we'll give you a second for Gio, can you retain 50? You think they're going to say no? I doubt it. That's the market. The guy that was going to garner a first-round pick, by the way, injured. He's off now. Hampus Lindholm might. That's a big might, though. That's a desperate team coming out there. And Colorado's not paying that. Toronto's not paying that unless there's an extension in place. That's the market. The market has been set. It's a second and a prospect. We'll get to some of those players right now, actually. So news around Jacob Chychrun came out 2 to 4 weeks with an injury he sustained. That's tough news for Chychrun, who has 3 years left on a deal after this season at just $4.6 million. He has 21 points in 47 games. He's only 23 years of age. Teams like the Blues, Hurricanes, Panthers, Kings, Ducks, Bruins were all serious contenders for his services. Boston Bruins defenseman Derek Forbert hit him awkwardly into the boards on Saturday night. 2 to 4 weeks out. Is there a chance a team still goes, you know what, we can survive until the dude gets back, like a Florida or Carolina? 100%. 100%. Does his value go down a little bit? Yeah, probably. It would not surprise me, though, if Chychrun still moved. It also wouldn't surprise me if they dealt him in the offseason. Because there's no rush. There's no rush for Arizona to move him. Unless the price hasn't changed for him. And Florida comes in and goes, listen, we'll still pay you the same thing. We're in a very comfortable position. We can offer you a first, a prospect, a player, and a fourth, whatever the cost is for him. It might be a first and a second, to be honest with you. But Arizona's not taking less. 3 more years at a controlled cap of 4.6. They don't even think they need to move him. Now all of a sudden they're playing relatively well. Lawson Crouse, Clayton Keller. They got guys scoring on this team. They won last night. I think they beat Ottawa. They've got two goaltenders, Valimaki and Scott Wedgwood. Both have been playing some pretty good hockey of late, too. There is no pressure on that team right now. So the status of Jacob Chychrun, 2 to 4 weeks. Wouldn't shock me if he still was dealt. Wouldn't shock me if they kept them because they didn't get a good enough deal for him. Other news to report around the league right now. We mentioned the John Klingberg news. I don't think he's going anywhere. I really don't. I don't think John Klingberg anymore is going anywhere just due to the fact that the Dallas Stars got some tough news about one of their defensemen, Miro Heiskanen. They also got tough news about one of their goaltenders we'll get to as well. But Miro Heiskanen remains the big one right now. He is out indefinitely with mononucleosis, a really, really tough move for them. A couple different people posting about it saying, I'm not sure why Heiskanen has been nowhere to be seen in the Norris conversation. He has been absolutely spectacular this season. He has 29 points, 52 games. He plays 25 minutes a night. His underlying metrics are really good. He is in the first season of the 8-year, $67.6 million extension he signed. Dallas right now is in the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They also got tough news about one of their goaltenders. Anton Khudobin is going to be out 6 weeks for surgery. And so Braden Holtby now also becomes unavailable. Anton Khudobin out 6 months after hip surgery. So Klingberg's not on the market anymore. Holtby's not on the market anymore. Also, Dallas is in a playoff position. Why would they be? I said the same thing about the Vancouver Canucks. All these news, let's say you're not hearing any news and rumors anymore about JT Miller and Brock Besser. And it's because Vancouver's like 2-3 points out of a playoff spot right now. 3 weeks ago, they were like 8. So you're like, yeah, news and rumors about JT Miller, what the get is. First of all, JT Miller is like 71 points this season. So the ask for him would be astronomical. And I remember I wrote a piece about this too. I said, why the Canucks shouldn't trade JT Miller. This was, by the way, before they started this run. I wrote this piece like 3 weeks ago. Vancouver's still like 6 points out of a playoff spot. They're winning games. Same thing right now. Even if Khudobin was healthy and Heiskanen was fine, I still don't think they move Klingberg or Holtby. Why? Because they're winning. They just re-signed Joe Pavelski, by the way, too, to like a $5.6 million one-year contract. The dude is carrying that team right now. But that's I don't think Dallas moves off of Klingberg anymore. They're in a playoff spot. Heiskanen out indefinitely. They don't know when he's going to be back. But there's no way he moves anymore. So that kind of closes things up for them. There have been reports and news involving Claude Giroux. Teams are still very interested in him right now. There are talks, like I mentioned earlier, Colorado seems to be still in on him. And again, Colorado's all in this year. Colorado is the all-in team. Their cap situations are going to be enormous once Nathan MacKinnon has to re-up on a contract. Now, he said he would take less. Said he's not, he's not going to break the bank. He's going to make more than $6.2 million. He'll be in the 11-12 range. It's also very different saying that years out from the deal actually happening, and Colorado comes in and offers MacKinnon 9. And you look around and be like, listen, I'm one of the top 5 players on the planet. That number's minimum in double digits, probably $11, $12 million, I think. But Colorado's all in this year. There's no way Colorado's done. So names that are off the list right now include Manson's done. It now kind of questions whether Hampus Lindholm moves, because I thought one of the two were going to move and then the other one was going to get signed. The Ducks have apparently been trying to work towards a deal to re-sign Lindholm. But Manson's moved. Holtby's probably not getting traded anymore because Dallas doesn't have a goalie, unless I think they might go with Ottenberg. But I doubt how Holtby moves. They're also in a playoff spot, so why would they? Klingberg's not going anywhere anymore. Chychrun might not go anywhere anymore because of the injury. Ben Sherrod is being held out tonight for precautionary reasons for a trade, so that is an almost absolute certainty that he's moving. But I don't think Montreal is getting a first and a prospect for him anymore. The precedent has been set. It is no longer a first and a prospect. If Josh Manson went for a second and a defensive prospect, that's your minimum baseline. And Ben Sherratt has worse analytics than Manson does. He's physical. He's a playoff player. You can have all those intentions. Teams have signed those players before. Toronto signed that player last year. Guess what? Didn't matter. Analytical metrics, I know, are a little iffy at times, and they don't tell the full story of a player. But over a long season and a big body of work, they tell a little bit of the story. And the analytics say that Ben Sherratt, not a great player. It was already astronomical they wanted a first and a pick for him. Now, the second in a defensive prospect sets the market. Defensemen that are still up there, Sherratt, like I mentioned, Justin Braun is still a guy who could be moved, especially now that Rasmus Ristolainen has been re-signed by Philly and they have Ryan Ellis. I think Braun's the odd man out. I think you could probably get Justin Braun for like a third round pick, maybe like a super long shot prospect. I think that makes a lot of sense. And Braun comes with like Philly would heaps on the cap hit. You'd get Braun for probably a second straight up. Maybe a third in a prospect. I can see that happening. Mark Giordano is another guy who's available right now from the Seattle Kraken. We mentioned him. The price already on Giordano wasn't even a first round pick. It was probably a second or third. I think it might even be a third and a pick now. Similarly as Braun, I think Seattle needs to eat some of that cap for them to get the second round pick, but that's a very interesting scenario right now too. But that's kind of what's going on right now in the league. Goaltending market, it's not a whole lot now, especially with the Holpe news coming off. I hear a lot of stuff about Semyon Varlamov being quote-unquote a player that teams... I don't think Semyon Varlamov moves. I really don't. Unless the Islanders get an absolute boatload for him, I doubt he moves. You know, the guys that I could see moving, Fleury, obviously. I haven't heard a lot on Alexander Georgiev, to be honest with you, but he's an RFA who's probably going to want a shot to be a starting goaltender on a different team. He only makes $2.6 million this season, and he's got controlled rights. He hasn't played great this year, but I would almost view that as an opportunity to see what the market could be for him. And before, right, last year and even the year prior, when Georgiev really made his stamp on the league, he was fetching a first-round pick. Does he get you a second anymore? Maybe, because he's young enough. But that's it. Like, if a team really wanted to take a swing on a goaltender... And there's a couple, there's news right now that Colorado's in on Fleury. And again, I'll revert to the Elliot Friedman 32 Thoughts podcast. He said he heard from a source that he doesn't know what they were talking about, that he said, don't be surprised because they've done deals before, but that Colorado and Toronto were talking. I don't think there's something that both those teams would, I don't think there's a trade that either of those teams would make specifically with one another. And it got me thinking, as Colorado, I mean, they just got a start from Darcy Kemper. He made 46 saves and they beat Calgary. I don't know why you'd want to move Kemper. But if Colorado is as all in as apparently they're going, and there are reports that suggest that maybe they're not as all in with Kemper. I don't think that's true. But is there a three-way deal that gets Fleury to Colorado, so he stays in the States, Kemper to Toronto, Mrazek to Chicago, and then they get a first, a second, and a prospect. Colorado gives the first, Toronto gives the second, and a prospect. All those allocate to Chicago. Chicago gets Fleury, Toronto gets Kemper. I'm spitballing here, but that's the only deal that makes sense to me. Unless there's a three-way deal then with the Flyers involving Claude Giroux, where Giroux goes to Colorado. Yeah, but you wouldn't need a third team in that deal. Like Giroux to Colorado. Colorado needs to make cap room for that to work. So Giroux then gets 50% retained. The player coming out, I don't know, I'm a spitball here, but I would think Andre Burakovsky is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. Toronto could use a player like that in their top six. Burakovsky goes to Toronto. Toronto moves Hall or Murat. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's too hard to complicate here. And the Fleury one makes the most sense. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying that they're saying it's going to happen. But what I heard, because I listened to 32 Thoughts yesterday on, I took my dogs for a walk. And when they were conversing about it, they said that there are, like, don't be surprised if Colorado and Toronto are talking about something. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. I'm just kind of rambling here, and that's kind of what I've loved about this podcast episode today, is I've just kind of rambled about what I think is going to happen and what I believe, but it remains to be seen. 6 days, the precedent has been set right now with the Colorado and Anaheim move. We will see now once the next domino, once now that the first domino has fallen, we'll see how everything else plays out. But I'm really excited for it. A couple teams I want to just quickly highlight before we finish off the podcast today. We'll start with Vegas. I want to end on a positive on this podcast. Vegas right now, and by the way, they just had Robin Leonard land on IR. So now they might be in play for a goaltender. Whether that is a, maybe it's a Georgiev, maybe it's a Varlamov, maybe it's a Fleury, I don't know. But the standings today have the Vegas Golden Knights currently out of a playoff position behind the Edmonton Oilers. They have the same amount of points as Edmonton with 68, but Edmonton has two games in hand. They've only played 59. Vegas has played 61. Vancouver, 3 points out of a playoff spot right now. If they win their next game, they pulled it within a point of Vegas. What did I see Vegas's record since getting Jack Eichel? Or since he started playing? Whatever it is, they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. I was listening to this as well. Vegas right now has just put Robin Leonard on IR. They also have Max Pacioretty, who's been injured. Mark Stone, who's injured. They've got Alec Martinez, who's injured, who makes a lot of money. I believe Matthias Janmark is injured right now, who's another couple million dollars. Right now, Vegas has over $20 million on injured reserve, including their captain and a lot of very good players. The team leader in points is Jonathan Marchessault, 25 and goals, 22 assists. Chandler Stevenson's got 45 and 58. Riley Smith is 38. Then it's Shea Theodore, Pietrangelo, Pacioretty, Stone. Eichel's been all right, 9 points in 13 games so far. This is going to sound far-fetched, because it's got to be the injuries there. But Jack Eichel has just not found success so far in the NHL. Just hasn't. As an individual player, yes. But as a member of a team, it just, you know what this is? This is the Matt Duchene effect. This is, do you remember Matt Duchene, by the way? Colorado was going through one of the worst seasons in the history of their franchise. Nathan MacKinnon was still at the point where he was debated on whether he was going to be a superstar player or just like a contributor in the top six. Matt Duchene gets dealt to the Ottawa Senators. Colorado starts exploding. MacKinnon finds his game. Rantanen comes in. Like the team just clicked the moment Duchene left, if you remember that. He goes to Ottawa. It was the trade to Ottawa. Ottawa was already good. Then Ottawa starts struggling a little bit, and they move off of Mark Stone, and they move off of all their good players, and they're stuck with this contract of Matt Duchene. And then Ottawa deals him to Columbus. That was the same year they also traded Ryan Dzingel to Columbus. They go on their playoff run. I think they go to the second round. And then the next year, they aren't very good. And Duchene kind of sits there for a bit. And then he signs in Nashville. And Nashville's been okay. They went on a late surge to make the playoffs last year. And right now they're in a playoff position. But just in regards to the Colorado and the Ottawa and the Columbus. You know, Eichel's a superstar player. Comes in the league. He's putting up points, putting up goals. Injury history. But Buffalo's never done well. He finally gets the surgery he wants. He gets moved to Vegas, who is a bona fide Stanley Cup contender year in and year out, literally since they've entered the league. Now, Mark Stone injury doesn't help, but in order to get Eichel in the cap, they got to put Stone on LTIR. They make that work. Eichel comes in, and the dude hasn't played hockey in like a year and a half. He's got 9 points in 13 games. You have literally neck surgery. You haven't done your job in a year and a half. You come in and you are instantly contributing. Bravo to Jack Eichel. But Vegas is 3-7 in those games. Pacioretty hasn't been there. I get it. But it's not like they don't have Shea Theodore. It's not like they don't have Jonathan Marchessault. Chandler Stephenson has been a steal of a player. Remember Chandler Stephenson, who was the fourth line or third line center on the Washington Capitals in 2018 when they won the Cup? He's their number one center right now and their number 2 point getter on the team. They've got Theodore and Pietrangelo and Patch. I know Patrick's hurt. But William Karlsson and Evgeny Dadonov, who they signed in the offseason from Ottawa. I think it's a combination of injury history and some really poor luck for Jack Eichel. But what a conspiracy theory that is, eh? That if wherever Jack Eichel goes so far in his career, the team success has not garnered. If Vegas misses the playoffs, how bad are they going to look? Because by the way, Alex Tuck and Peyton Krebs in Buffalo look fantastic right now. Nate Thompson, fantastic right now. But Alex Tuck was a very popular player on the Vegas Golden Knights. Very popular player. Big locker room guy. He got paid by Vegas and gets moved in the deal for Eichel. Signs a contract, think you're going to stay in Vegas. Really good team, really good rapport with the organization. You have a really good prospect in Peyton Krebs. Gone. And now you've got a $10 million player with a $9.5 million on LTIR, your goaltender. And then that's the other one. You had this whole goalie thing where Leonard was coming up on a contract and Fleury had one more year left at seven. And Fleury, who is all I hear, the most beloved teammate you could ask for. And they signed Leonard to the five-year, $5 million deal per season. That's like $525. And they send Fleury to Chicago for nothing. It was the please take our cap hit. So Chicago sends nothing in return for him. And now Fleury's going to go for a first. It's a rare win for Chicago lately, but a win. Now, they've won three Stanley Cups since 2010, so they've had their fair share of wins, but lately, I mean. But man, like, what? Vegas went from having super popular and well-liked players in the locker room to, and I'm not saying that, like, players love Robin Leonard there. That's all I've heard. He is the most relatable, down-to-earth guy, speaks his mind. The media has a field day with him. But Fleury, who's arguably the most liked goaltender right now in hockey, outside of Price when he's here, and Alex Tuck, who I've just heard rave reviews about. Anytime that you see interviews with him or guys joking about him, gets a nice little payday, moved. Peyton Krebs, moved. Couple interesting moves. Now, when Jack Eichel's available, maybe make the move for Jack Eichel, but if Vegas misses the playoffs, what happens next? Because you've got a lot of guys on some big contracts there. You're going to have to move out a lot of money to make that work. You better take a book out of Toronto's page. They've been doing it with their big paid players, and they're playing relatively well. Not right now, but if they don't make it, man, question marks are coming for that team. And the team I want to end off with here, I really got to give props right now to the Ottawa Senators. For a long time, even when they were a good team, right? They had the whole debacle about not making the, about not selling out during their playoff runs. And it has a lot more to do with the location of their arena than the actual fan base. But they've got some core pieces that fans got to be excited about. They drafted Josh Norris. He's a former first-round pick, by the way. He was a former first-round pick, by the way, of the San Jose Sharks. They didn't draft Josh Norris. Norris was in the Carlson deal. But Josh Norris comes over in the Carlson deal. And anytime you're a player involved in a trade of that magnitude and you are being viewed at as the player, a big piece who was brought in return of your former captain, a lot of pressure to perform. And he has come in and was okay last year. 56 games, 35 points. He had 17 goals and 18 assists. He's 22 years of age. He leads the team with 24 goals. 24 goals in 43 games. Alex Formenton, who is also a former second-round pick, they drafted him in 2017. Real speed player, very raw. I remember watching him in London, and what he did, he was just faster than you. Alex Formenton was just faster than you. That was one of his best attributes, was his speed was uncanny. You could tell at the OHL level, 100%, but you're even seeing it in the NHL level. He is fast. He has carved out a really nice role in this team. Averages 15 minutes a night, 25 points in 56 games. Really good middle six player. It's unfortunate that he's been injured for the last little bit, but Drake Batherson, fourth round pick by the Ottawa Senators, hit 34 points in 31 games this season before getting hurt. The season prior, 34 points in 56 games. He has the same amount of points, but in 25 less games this year. He is going to be one of their big contributors. Tim Stützle. I talked to a Sens fan about this. They moved him to center. He's got the same amount of points, but he is a more well-rounded player. Ottawa's doing it right. They are doing it right. Thomas Chabot locked up. They've drafted some defensemen. They've still got Connor Brown, Chris Tierney. They have got some good depth pieces. Eric Brandstrom's starting to play again now. He's only got 5 assists, but the dude is at least playing. It's still going to be a couple years till they're really a good, relevant team. I mean, they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They've lost 2 straight. They're 7th in the Atlantic right now. They'll get another high draft pick. But Matt Murray is kind of signed. His numbers aren't spectacular, and Anton Forsberg's there too. He might be moved. He started the most games out of any goaltender on that team, Anton Forsberg. He's a .916 save percentage. I think things for Ottawa could really look up in the near future. I really do. I'm not saying next year, but that 2 to 4 year window, I think there's a real opportunity for this to be a good team. I really do. And again, I said this at the beginning of the podcast today. I have naturally followed the Toronto Maple Leafs my whole life. I have seen some incredible series between. I've seen them go on playoff runs in 07 all the way to the finals against the Ducks. I've seen them go on the run against with Carlson and Stone and all those guys. MacArthur all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Penguins in 2016 or 2015, whatever year that was. I have watched that team. I've watched this team have those runs, and they've been some good teams. But this, it is, they are figuring out after a couple of in-between seasons. I think they're building something good over there in Ottawa. And I don't know how many Ottawa fans I get that listen to the podcast, but they've got some stuff going on for them. And I got to give them kudos. I'm not giving the reins to, I forget the owner's name right now, but the guy who won't pay his players. It's probably better they don't say his name. But this drafting thing, they have pieces here. They've got players, they've got pieces. I will say good on the Ottawa Senators. Don't be surprised. 2 to 4 years, they become a team. All right, that does it for the show today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me rant at the beginning there as well. Follow me on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, Instagram, and Twitter, ST Hockey Podcast. Trade deadline a week away, less than now. We'll see who moves. We'll see who doesn't move. We'll have all the reaction coming up for you on next Tuesday's edition. Until then, enjoy. That's a wrap.